Moncrief on News Talk.
Behind every great man is a great woman, so goes the old cliche, and like all cliches, it contains a large dollop of truth. Historically, the wives of so-called great men often proved themselves to be even greater, but because they were women, it wasn't noticed so much. Now the author Nicola Pierce has brought some of those stories to the foreground in Great Irish Wives, Remarkable Lives from History. Good afternoon, Nicola.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me on today.
Was it difficult in some of the cases of these women to research their lives because, you know, historians write about the men they were married to and not them?
Yeah, it was an absolute blessing when the women wrote letters or kept diaries. For instance, Mary O'Connell, who was married to Daniel O'Connell, because they were separated for so much of the early days of their marriage as he was pursuing his career, we have this wonderful collection of letters between them. So we get to see a completely different side of Daniel as the errant husband who continually let her down. But I mean, there was an absolute love match there. Those two are absolutely mad about one another. And every time they reunited after a long separation, there would be a new baby. So she is outstanding. In 12 years, she had 13 pregnancies.
Oh my gosh.
Year 1810, she had a daughter in February and a son in December. I'd actually never heard of that before. I'm sure
Irish
several
twins.
Women have. Yeah.
I would imagine after a while she mightn't be looking forward to reuniting him with him too much.
Oh, I think she was. Yeah, they were absolutely doted on one another.
Because in some of these cases, at the very least, these women put up with a lot. They were carrying the burden so their husband could go off and do whatever it is they wanted to do, which might have been great history-defining stuff.
But did
any of them think, I'm sick of this? Would he just not come home and put out the bins kind of thing?
I think maybe looking at the 10 of them just off the top of my head, possibly the most realistic one would have been George Bernard Shaw's wife, Charlotte. I don't know if I would have liked him had I met him. I'd say he was a huge personality. I've watched footage of him online. He walks in as if he's a king and people are all hail. She's somewhere behind him in the shadows. But it strikes me she was the type of woman who might have rolled her eyes as he kind of went around telling the same stories. She did say to a friend of hers, they were having a dinner one night with loads of guests and all the best type of company. And she whispered to her friend, I just wish he would stand beside me to receive the guests instead of waiting to make its own entrance. So I think out of the 10 of them, and it's completely ambiguous. We don't know if that relationship was ever, if they ever actually had marital relations.
Oh, really?
And he was such a player in words. Like, she married him, even though on one hand he would be writing a letter going, when you're coming home, I miss you, I need you here. And then as soon as she showed any interest, oh, ho, don't go falling in love with me. Oh, she'll marry someone else, but he'll never be as good as me. I mean, I've had that said to me by a guy. It's the most, they just mess with your head. So that relationship is really interesting. But she rescued him from utter poverty. She also, somebody found out accidentally, she was giving him ideas when he was stuck for stuff to write on. Not that he realised it.
Huh.
He was needing to write another play and she decided that they both had this huge interest in Joan of Arc. So she just started leaving pamphlets and booklets around about the saint. And lo and behold, he marches into her one day and goes, guess who I'm going to write about next? And it's Joan of Arc. And she would have had to go, oh, that's a great idea. But actually, it was her idea.
That's what wives have been doing for time immemorial. Make him think it's his idea and he'll run and do it. Now, Sinead de Valera, again, very much in the background, but it sounds like she was a character, but it's one of those things that was consigned to another room almost.
She was amazing. I think I don't like to pick a favourite because I fell in love with each one as I was writing about the women anyway. Sinead was an absolute revelation. I really didn't know anything about her. Thank goodness her youngest son, Terence de Valera, wrote a memoir in 2004 and asked her to write about her life in one chapter. I really, really wish that she'd written her own autobiography. She had this amazing life. Before she met Dev, who was a pupil in one of her Irish classes, classes. She was actually an award-winning teacher, and she was all she could have gone onto the stage. The Abbey wanted her to come to them. She had impressed the likes of Yeats, George Moore and Arthur Griffiths with her acting. And she was one of the earliest ones through the doors of the Gaelic League. She turned up at 24 O'Connell Street. She'd missed out on the first term, and within a very short amount of space of time, she was better than all her fellow students and winning awards. And I would love, I'd love to wish there was footage online of her teaching. When she started to teach Irish, I read that there wasn't even standing room. There was that many. And the fellas like were all madly in love with her. And if you look at early photographs of her, she was so, actually still in her old age. She was very striking looking, but also very compassionate and kind. And she was the most wonderful mother. But my goodness, she needs to be courageous. She managed to get all her children safely through the Spanish flu. And she reckons the only reason none of her children died was the fact that she didn't get the flu. The maid did and all of the kids did. Gosh. But she stayed healthy. I mean, that would have been terrifying. And then she got them through 1916 and the War of Independence and the Civil War. Now, Dev was not around for most of this. So she, and also her house has been continually raided. Now, at one point, to highlight how little the kids saw of their dad, she overheard two young guys, that they were about 5 and 6. And Rory asks Brian, do you know who this Dev is? The younger brother says, I don't know. I think it's Mammy's father. That's how little the kids saw of him.
Oh,
she
God.
She was a sole parent. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Now, also, a bit like Daniel O'Connell, Wolfe Tone and Matilda Tone, yeah. Like, was that a kind of love at first sight kind of yes. scenario?
There's an amazing story. She was living in her grandfather's apartment over her dad's shop in Grafton Street, and he was heading to the bookshop one day. He was a law student in Trinity College. He looked up, they both caught each other's eye, and that was it. Fallen in love immediately. And he had to try and work out how to get to know her. So he befriends, he didn't like her brother in Trinity, but he befriends him to get him to invite him into the family home. So when they both had their birthdays in June, very shortly after this, she turns 16, he turns 22. He doesn't bother asking her family for permission. He asks her to marry him. She says yes, and they eloped. And actually, I was just checking, they got married 240 years ago. Huh. But she sacrificed, I mean, to me, I know he sacrificed his life. I mean, that was his choice. Whether I agree with it or not is another thing. But what she had to sacrifice, number one, she really kind of lost all her family at this point. They didn't like him. And the brother felt he'd actually totally been played, which he had. But she also allowed him to change her name. So she was Martha. But he wanted to call her Matilda. Now, Matilda was the name of a character in a play that his ex had acted in. Huh. And Matilda was the hero's great wife. And when the hero died, she never forgot him. So there's all that kind of coming into play too. But they were madly in love with one another, very young. And then there's this wonderful story. He's dead. She had 3 remaining children. And the 2 children, 16-year-old daughter and 13-year-old son, would die very shortly afterwards from TB. She'd 1 remaining son left. This is all that she had in the world.
Yeah.
Poured everything that she had into him. They were in France. And then it came to his time. He wanted to go to college. So she was just giving him whatever he wanted. And she decided that's it. She put him in a military college, which meant that she had to say goodbye to him. So we have this wonderful scene that she describes. She's waved him off and then she sort of falls to her knees in a meadow and doesn't want to go home to the empty house. I mean, we can all relate to that. A lark began circling her and singing out loud. And she felt that this was Wolfe Tone's sign to her that she'd be okay. And that actually got her back on her feet. And she got back. She was able to go home to the empty house.
Yeah.
She's a phenomenal woman. And she's a huge inspiration to me.
Yes, because while you were writing this book, your beloved Niall, your husband, you lost him while you were writing this book.
Yeah, I had 9 of the women done. So I started it over 2 years ago, happily married. 5 of the women were widowed. I wrote their story, including Matilda's, and never imagined that I would be in their position by the time the book was going to print. I had 1 more wife to do. I'd just started the first wife of Sir Edward Carson and then had to go back to it after Niall's funeral. So these 10 women have been my companions all for the last couple of years and they continue. I mean, I've got the launch tomorrow. I'm getting nervous. I've been nervous all this week. I'm not really sleeping. I'm missing my husband. I'm listening to the bad news that seems to be just getting worse and worse.
Stop,
I wish my husband was here, on top of everything else. So there's a real vulnerability. We didn't have any children. What I have our cat and I've got the strays outside. But I have a wonderful network and support too. But I really, really, and it's just wonderful. He would never imagine I was going to be on News Talk talking to you about and mentioning you knew his name. So I feel it's wonderful that this is happening.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you take care of yourself, Nicola, and best of luck with the launch. I'm sure the book will do fantastically. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Nicola Pearce there, author of Great Irish Wives, Remarkable Lives from History.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.